Welcome to the Friday, October 28th, 2011 edition of the Sands and Storm Center's Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich and I'm recording today in New York City, New York. Let's start with patches today. We got a patch from Apple addressing a number of critical vulnerabilities in QuickTime for Windows. The vulnerabilities affect mostly video files and, well, they're the usual client vulnerabilities. So if you're playing back a malicious video, that can then lead to code execution via QuickTime. Now, if you're wondering what happened to the QuickTime patch for OS X users, well, OS X users are already patched if you applied 10.7.2, the latest OS X patch that came up out a week or so ago. So that patch included this particular fix for QuickTime. And we got a pre-release for Java 6 update 30. The pre-release is only available to developers and there aren't really any details available so far as to the security content of this particular update. Our latest critical control is number 18. It covers incident response, and Mark Baggett outlines some of the basic principles to consider if you're standing up a new incident response team, what to think about with respect to procedures and such, and how to document that. And the securitypentest.com blog revealed a method to bypass attachment restrictions in Facebook. Now, Facebook typically does not allow .exe files to be attached to personal messages. However, by adding an underscore or a space, it is possible to bypass this restriction. It isn't clear if this is actually even a big deal. A user would receive the file, but would have to rename it in order for it to actually become executable by double-clicking it. And that was also the response from the Facebook security team, and they said, well, a big deal. You can send a file with an odd file name, but it won't really do any damage. What did surprise me a little bit is that they're really just filtering by extensions and not by mind types or file headers to determine what files to block and what to allow. The EFF, the Electronic Frontier Foundation, released a summary of revoked SSL certificates. As seen by its SSL Observatory, the SSL Observatory tracks certificate revocation lists from various certificate authorities. They essentially have a bunch of sensors out there that periodically download those lists, and then they're analyzing them and seeing, hey, what certificates got recently revoked and why? Because there's a field in the certificate revocation lists that indicates the reason for the revocation. With certificate authority compromised being cited in 17 cases from 4 different certificate authorities since June. It's not clear who these certificate authorities are that revoked these certificates. I guess it's safe to assume that DigiNotar was one of them. The EFF so far has not released the names of these certificate authorities. In part, they say they don't really want to punish them for actually accurately reporting why they revoked these certificates. And a soon-to-be-released report by the U.S.-China Economic and Security Review Commission is supposed to include some details about cyber attack against 2 satellite. Each time the attacker managed to take control of each satellite for a few minutes, the attacker didn't use the control, as far as they can tell at least, to tamper with the satellite's control system, but it said that they had enough control to essentially destroy the satellite if they wanted to, or for example, to tamper with transmissions. Both satellites were relative benign weather and sort of geographic observation satellites, but evidently they use pretty similar control mechanisms as some of the military satellites, so it suggested that whoever did it would also have the ability to tamper with military satellites. Now, there aren't a lot of details on how the attack worked, but the ground stations that were used to control the satellites during those times are located in Norway, and remote operators connect to these stations via internet connections to then control the satellites. So it's very possible that this internet connection was used to breach the ground station and then connect to the satellite from the compromised ground station systems. And finally, the hacker group Team Poison released a small list of police department websites in the US, which they claim are vulnerable to SQL injection attacks. No data was posted, so there is no real proof that these sites are actually vulnerable other than the proof of concept URLs that were posted to Pastebin. Well, that's it for today. So thanks again for listening and talk to you again on Monday. Bye.